Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Todd Blackledge, kind enough to join us right now on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Todd, always a pleasure having you on. Happy New Year, and how are things going this morning? You out in California already?
No, I'm leaving tomorrow to head out there, so I'm still home and just kind of getting my final prep done and looking forward to the game. Should be a fun one.
Todd, we say this a lot to guests. We're not looking to age you because we've already aged ourselves. People who listen know how old we are. But travel to games, we were talking about Greyhound and buses and flights versus buses. And what was the evolution in college for you in terms of how far away would the team bus? What was the flight? What were the distances that actually worked where the school said, today we fly?
Well, you know, back then, I think the only time we would bus when we went to play at Pittsburgh. We would bus when we would go to West Virginia, I think. But for the most part, we flew. But the difference or the problem was at that time, the airport was too small in State College. So we had to drive to Harrisburg and get on a plane there that was big enough with a big enough runway to fly the whole team. So that was a little bit of a pain, but it beats riding in a bus.
Were you one of those guys in high school? I'm assuming you had teammates, if not yourself. First time you were ever on a plane was getting on a plane with your teammates to go play a football game.
Yeah, well, I think the first time I was ever on a plane was going on some recruiting trips, when I was choosing a college. So that was probably the first time. I don't recall ever, before that, any family vacations. Was always in the family truckster, just driving somewhere. So going on recruiting trips is the first time I was on a plane.
We've both been to games at West Virginia. There must be something very memorable about those trips when the bus would arrive in Morgantown. They are very passionate fans there, as you well know, at West Virginia.
Yeah, very passionate. And, my roommate and best friend on the Penn State team was Kurt Warner, who was from West Virginia. He was from a little town called Pineville, West Virginia. So they were always hooting and hollering and ready to give him a hard time when we pulled in. But Kurt always, he always played well. So we always ended up with the last laugh on that.
Yeah, I've told the story on the air. I graduated with a guy who ended up punting for West Virginia for 4 years. And when we went down there our freshman year to go see him, the advice he was given by the elders, juniors and seniors on the team, tell your New Jersey buddies, keep their head down. Don't say nothing. Don't talk to anybody. Come to the game.
Yeah.
It's a different fan base, no doubt about it.
Less is more. Todd Blackledge with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Like I said, we talked to Sean earlier in the week. You guys were on the call for the Fiesta Bowl, and this is no fluke, this TCU team being where they are right now, obviously.
No, they're definitely not a fluke, and I think you can get rid of the Cinderella title as well. I mean, they're a very good football team. I think the thing that, that surprised everybody in the Michigan game was how physical they were. They were very physical in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They had a lot of tackles for loss on defense. They turned Michigan over, and Michigan had been one of the best teams in the country at taking care of the ball. And then offensively, I think their offensive line was just a lot better and more physical than people gave them credit for. And, even without, their best running back in the second half, they were still able to run well and outrush Michigan. And they're built on the running game. They outrushed Michigan by a significant number. We knew about their speed. We knew about Max Duggan. We knew about that. But I think their physicality is what really stood out in that game. And as back and forth as it was, especially the third quarter when there was 44 points scored, TCU never trailed in the game. They were ahead the entire game and just fought off one challenge after another by Michigan. And they were the best team on the field that night.
I don't know where you were on the Saturday. I was watching it live, the TCU-Baylor game, when the rush onto the field to kick. And I know I was screaming at my TV, they're going to blow an undefeated season because they can't get a kickoff, or they're not giving this kid a really good chance to make this kick. I don't know when you saw that, or I don't know if you were in a booth someplace, but it is kind of interesting how a season, when you do your highlight package, what's going to be included as to how you got there. There's a little bit of luck. Yeah. There's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. That moment for me is the one that I think about this college football
season.
That best
describes their mindset, though, right? They're never going to panic. Absolutely. They're never out of the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They do not panic. They've come from behind a lot. They've won a lot of one-possession games, probably more than anybody in the country. And, you know, and that's a drill. I think they call it the bazooka play when they run their field goal team on and kick with the clock running. You know, every team practices it. Obviously some teams more than others, but they did not look fazed at all by that moment. And, you know, you couple that with the last two possessions that they had the ball and what Max Duggan did in getting their team first a touchdown and then in position to kick the winning field goal without Quentin Johnston, his best receiver, without Kendre Miller, their best running back. That's kind of been their MO all year. And, you know, anytime you win a championship or play for a championship, you're going to have a game like that where, you know, you got a little luck on your side. I mean, Georgia's got one of those on their ledger, actually two now. I mean, the Ohio State game was close, could have gone either way. And then the Missouri game on the road earlier in the year was a game that almost got away from Georgia as well. So sometimes you got to be able to win when you don't play your best. And both of these teams have been that.
Todd, is this kind of crazy in this regard? We're always looking for analogies and trying to figure out, okay, have I ever seen anything like this? Or can I predict maybe something from the past might come into now? 20 years ago, and Nick and I were fortunate enough to still be, you know, we were working together back then, the Ohio State-Miami game. Ohio State was the team that played a bunch of close games that year in 2002, heavily favored Miami. What happens? Ohio State wins. And I remember talking about the idea that they're more tested. It's like the Las Vegas basketball team when they ran through everybody. Now, all of a sudden, it's close and late. What are you going to do? Is that not similar 20 years later as to maybe what the national mindset of this TCU-Georgia game is?
Well, I think maybe, although the fact that Georgia just played a game that went down to the final possession against a really good Ohio State team, you know, that nothing's going to surprise them. They're going to be prepared for a great game. And so, I don't see that being as much of a factor because of the game they just came out of. But on the other side of that, TCU is not afraid of Georgia. I mean, they will go in there fully confident and, you know, believing if they can get this game to the fourth quarter with the guy they got leading them in Max Duggan, that they're going to have a fighter's chance to win the football game and win a national championship. So I think they're a very confident team in what their identity is. And, like you guys said earlier, they just don't panic when they're behind.
Todd Blackledge is with us. He and Sean McDonough going to have the radio call for ESPN, a game you can hear on the Fan on Monday at 7:30. Going back to that Georgia-Ohio State game, it may be strange to say, but maybe that's the best thing that could have happened to Georgia, winning a tight game like that, much like the loss to Alabama in the SEC title game last year. Every once in a while, you need that little kick in the pants, do you not?
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, you realize and recognize how thin the margin is between winning and losing in a big game like that, you know. And the week before, the game before, wasn't the week before when they played the SEC championship game. You know, they gave up a lot of yards, over 500 yards passing to LSU, and you know that they, Kirby and that defensive staff, weren't happy with that. But that game was different because that game was never close. It was never in question. It was 35-10 at halftime. It was 42-7 in the third quarter. It was 50-23. So it was never in doubt. This one was completely different. They had their hands full with C.J. Stroud. It's kind of interesting to think, would that game have been different had Marvin Harrison Jr. not gotten knocked out of the game at the end of the third quarter? Because Georgia really didn't have an answer for him. So, but it went down to the wire, and Georgia showed their resiliency and their resolve. And, you know, when they needed it the most, Stetson Bennett, as he's done a lot of times in the last couple of years, was at his very best. And bring them back for the win.
We now know what NIL is, or at least what we believe it to be now, and the evolution of it now. There'll be a time frame where we go, okay, it went from this to this. But it's also interesting, I'm sure when you guys were as good as you were at Penn State playing for national titles, enrollment goes up, applications go up. But right now we have the added, what about NIL collective money? What about money now going to, I'm sure there's NIL money in the TCU world already, But I would imagine the NIL money available to Sonny Dykes is going to be completely different. So it's not just about admissions. It's not just about, we have daughters who wanted to go to schools where they play big football. There is going to be something that I'm assuming is going to happen even at a smaller place like TCU, because NIL just adds another layer to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And TCU, I mean, if you don't know, I mean, it's a very small school, small private school, but it has a very large donor base. I mean, it is a wealthy, it's not a cheap school to go to, and their fan base and alumni base is the very well-to-do group of people. So when it comes to facilities, to redo their stadiums, I have a son who plays baseball there, so I'm familiar with the school and their facilities. And, you know, they will not build anything there until they have the money first. So they don't borrow any money. If they say we need X number of million dollars to do this, boom, they get it. And I think with the NIL, it'll be a different type and a different level than some of these other schools. But they'll still have things available in that way as well.
What about the schools like Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Texas, as TCU, and we were talking about it because they've jumped conferences. I'm not even sure a few years ago most people could have told you TCU was in the Big 12. But the fact that it's TCU representing this conference.
And Texas. First Texas team to be in the college football playoff in the championship game.
It's a really different thing than what was supposed to be played out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, and nobody saw this coming. I mean, they were 5-7 last year. Gary Patterson is a fine football coach. He you know, they got a statue for him out front of the stadium. I mean, he put TCU on the map when they were, you know, playing in the WAC and all these other conferences. He led them into the Big 12. They were down for the last couple years. They needed a change. But nobody could have guessed that it could have changed so quickly in Sonny Dykes' first year. He came in. He changed a lot of things. He had a different vibe to him. He made some great hires. You know, his strength and conditioning coach has been a huge bonus to the team. And then Garrett Riley, his offensive coordinator, won the Broyles Award as the top assistant. And Gillespie on defense is really a good, you know, bright guy. He brought a new scheme. And there was great buy-in on the players. And you know, they lost some key players in the portal, but then they went back out and got 14 transfers, most of them on defense. A lot of them plugged right in and played significant roles. And, you know, their leading tackler, Johnny Hodges, was a transfer from Navy that they got. So, you know, a lot of things kind of aligned the right way, but still what they've done is beyond what anybody would have expected.
We had Sean on the other day, and we were talking because it just hit us while we were live on the air. Stetson Bennett could win back-to-back national championships, not going to be eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. Your partner, Sean McDonough, bumped for you in that regard as well. He said, look, I got a Davey O'Brien Award winner. I got a champion. But you're not eligible, by the way, that the College Football Hall of Fame wants to work their initial criteria.
You ever see that changing?
I don't know. You know, I have some friends that are on the board of the National Football Foundation, and I mean, you know, it's kind of been set that way for a long time. So I don't know that it will. But yeah, Stetson Bennett, it seems kind of amazing if he could be the starting quarterback on back-to-back national championships teams and not be a college football Hall of Famer or All-American. But by the same token, you know, he's never going to have to buy a meal or a drink in the state of Georgia for the rest of his life either. So I think he'll do all right either way.
And one cannot put a price on that. Todd Blackledge, have a good call on Monday. Once again, Happy New Year, and always appreciate the time.
Awesome. Great to be with you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Todd.
You do the same. Todd Blackledge with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.